Welcome, everybody. Thanks for listening to Two Survive the Teen podcast. My name is Anna Pereira, event organizer at Teens, and today I'm having an interesting conversation with Desi Verkoeven about how to navigate family dynamics from a student perspective. Desi is a student advisor in data science at TUV and also an expert in family consultations and NLP coaching. In her own practice, she helps people to understand their family systems and how to overcome the impact of past experiences in the present. All info and contacts sharing during our conversation can be found in the show notes. Let's get to it. Thank you so much for accepting our invitation, Desi. This episode, we are going to talk about family and how to navigate our families. Everyone has some question with the family usually. But before all of that, I would like you to introduce yourself to our audience.
Thank you, Anna. Hi, everybody. I am Desi Verkoeven. I am an academic advisor for data science bachelor students at TUE. I've been working at the university for 8 years. And beside that, I have my own coaching company. I do family consultations and I'm an NLP practitioner. In short, that would mean that I do one-on-one coaching, but I also do group consultations. So that would mean that there will be, about 8 people in a room trying to look at their family dynamics and their family systems and how this is sometimes tackling them and how you can overcome these hurts.
Okay, so just for the people that don't know, what is NLP?
NLP is neuro-linguistic programming. So that's actually saying, in short, what we use is the fact that the brain doesn't know where it is. And this is literally when I say this, the brain doesn't know where you are. So if you had an event in the past, when you think about this event, you're there. You can feel the same emotions. Think about a slide, you can feel it in your stomach that you're going down this slide. And this is what NLP uses to go back to traumatic events, which the word trauma can be big, but it can be a small thing that happened. Being in at the playground and somebody took your popsicle. And that can be really like somebody is invading your privacy, somebody stole something for you. So as a kid, this is a big event. And as an adult, you can be very offended when people are trying to take something from you, or you have the feeling that people are taking something from you. And this is actually originated from that moment that the popsicle was taken from you in the playground. And if we go back to the playground and with our adult selves and are able to look at the children there and seeing that the other child was actually also just a little child that was not really that big of a bully, but really thinking about his own needs, like I really desperately need that ice cream, you are able to let go of that negative energy of somebody is stealing something from me. And this can help you in current life not to be offended this easily if you have the feeling that somebody is taking something from you.
Oh, wow. That's very interesting. Thank you so much for that that explanation. I knew it a bit, but that makes it much more clear to me as well. Well, we invited you because holidays are coming, and that means for a lot of the students in our community to go back to their families or to their home countries. And sometimes that's not as easy as it might sound at first. There are a couple of questions. So family dynamics are always different for everyone. But I have been hearing in some teen events about some experiences that we might talk about in this conversation. And maybe I would like to start, well, let's start more or less small, although can be big depending on how people deal with it. But for example, how to navigate in a difference in opinions. For example, there was quite recently, or in the past maybe 5 or 6 years, there has been more attention in the media how, for example, politics or culture can really ruin a family dinner, and how some families actually divided themselves because of those current affair topics. So how to separate all these dimensions of yourself and your family just to have a peaceful meal.
Yeah. Well, this is indeed can be challenging. Always to refer back to the food can be a nice way to make a distraction. No, it's actually quite challenging. But the funny thing is people like to discuss and people like to have something to talk about during family dinners. And if you are triggered by a conversation, the first thing that you can ask yourself is, okay, why am I triggered? And if you know that this is the person that is triggering me, or this topic is really, really a hot potato in this family, or really a hot potato for me, maybe Christmas dinner is not the right time to discuss this topic. So maybe talking about the food could be a nice thing to do. Also keeping in mind that people will not have the same truth. Your truth is not my truth. And accepting that, being able to say, okay, you have a 6, but from my point of view, this definitely is a 9. And accepting that, that is going to be the biggest challenge, but that is the only way to really navigate through a lot of discussions. Accepting that the other has a 6 or a 9. Accepting that. That's the best way for me to be non-judgmental and listen to the other. And that actually opens up your ears for the arguments of the other. And that could also maybe even change your mind.
I like the fact that you use the word truth. And truth nowadays, it's much more challenged. Some facts are not maybe accepted by everyone. So, for example, we are talking about technical students. They have a kind of a way in a kind of specific knowledge, and then go back home and there's, I don't know, a crazy uncle that thinks that Earth is flat, for example. So how to then accept that 6 or 9? Because it's more than just opinion. It becomes more challenging.
Yeah, yes, I see where you're going at, but the question is still, okay, he can have his beliefs. Why do you want to persuade your uncle that the earth is round? Okay, this is what he believes. So, and that's the end of the... If you are just replying like that, there, he can still try to argue with you.
Just keep diffusing the situation, even if what you're hearing is...
No, but you know what? You are now completely convinced that the earth is round. And I do too, but okay, separate from that, truth change. We have seen history changing truth. What we believe currently can be completely different in 100 years. So maybe your uncle is right. And if you keep that in mind, like, okay, science is constantly proving us current rights are wrong. So why should we really dive into an argument? Maybe your uncle is right. As we know today, current things that we know, he's not right. But does it really matter who's right or wrong? And if it becomes really a battle between yes and no, the question that you can ask yourself is, okay, why do we have this battle? Why do I really want to convince him that the earth is round? What would that gain me? If he finally understands that the world is round, would it change the dynamics between you and him? Or can you decide, okay, he can have his truth. He can have his truth.
Okay. Yeah. It's a question. Yeah. I get what you're saying is about, in the end, what do you win and lose with that argument?
In the end, what you win and lose, but also just accepting and not being a better person to accept it. No, just accepting he can have a different opinion. And sometimes I think the world is really involved about you need to have this opinion. Yeah, but if you cannot convince me, sorry, you cannot convince me, and I am entitled to have my truth. As long as my truth is not violating your freedom. May I add
that? That's very important. I think that's a very, very important remark.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. This needs to be there. But I'm really convinced that if your truth is not violating my freedom, there is nothing that I want to do to change your truth.
That needs a bit of a capacity from yourself to get out of your bubble and put yourself in others' shoes and try maybe to walk a bit in their shoes, in their background, with their education, etc. So, and that's a very hard exercise sometimes to do.
Absolutely.
Any maybe suggestions or
what
tricks?
What I try to do is not immediately respond. So I really give myself a moment to breathe.
Seriously. Count to 10.
Yeah, a count to 10. Absolutely, a count to 10. I give myself a moment to breathe and breathe to my stomach, but also really at that moment decide, okay, is this battle worth it? Do I want to get into this? Do I want this, yes or no? Question is that I ask myself during this deep breath, it's going to be a really deep breath, is like, okay, where is this coming from? What is his or her intention? What is their background? What are their cultural beliefs? How are they brought up? In which generation are they brought up? And if the generation, the culture, beliefs differ so far from mine, then let it go. It's not a battle that you can win. And the question is, why would you want to win it? Is it then for your own gain? Or, of course, you can always have a discussion with people to share your opinion. But then the other person needs to be willing to listen to you. And if you have an uncle that is really convinced that the earth is flat, he is not willing to listen to your theory about the earth turning around the sun and everything that comes with it.
I understand that the other side has to be willing, but I was just came to my mind that if we do that exercise that you propose all the time, are we maybe closing the door to some dialogue as well? Like, because you think, okay, he might be a bit quite stubborn in his beliefs, so this is not maybe worth it. And maybe you're losing an opportunity to actually have a dialogue with your uncle about this.
Well, you can always share your opinion, but that doesn't mean that you have to dive into a dialogue. So if he comes with let's stick with the flat earth, like if he comes with the flat earth theory, you can share like, oh, I have the round earth theory, and maybe both we are wrong. I actually used a phrase with my family once, which was, okay, maybe in the end, when we're standing in front of whatever heaven gate, if there is even a heaven, maybe Christianity, there is supposed to be Petrus at the gate. And like, okay, Petrus is standing there and he's laughing so loud because we were both, oh my God, so wrong. We just don't know it. And okay, this is fine. And actually, while using that joke, it took the angle out, took the edge of the whole conversation.
That's a good one. I like that. Making the situation so radical that you put things into perspective.
Is it really radical?
Maybe not.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so I think those are already very, very good tactics to the table on a Christmas Eve, or any other holiday that you're going to celebrate, or just a family dinner. But another question that I hear quite often, and I have to say I experience myself as well, is sometimes the setting the boundaries with your family, how to then to make your family see you as an adult, that it's making decisions, that it's creating what you want in life, your own way, and stop being treated like the child that has to follow the home rules and the parents' expectations, and how to make that transition, because a lot of our students are in this age of transition, like between 18 and 20 something, and with different cultures as well, where family weighs more or less in this equation. So what would you say about that?
Yeah, that is going to be the biggest challenge. And unfortunately, it's not in our power. It's not in our power to make our parents see us as adults. This is something, this is a process that gradually will happen or not.
No.
I'm sorry. It's not in our hands. What we do have in our hands is how do we react on this? So as soon as we start speaking to our parents, no, sorry, to go back, I think that every parent has the best intentions for their kid. Coming from their beliefs, important to add, coming from their beliefs, but they really have the best intentions. And as long as we are trying to fulfill those intentions, parents have the feeling that they are getting to you, that that it's finally sinking in there. So the moment that you start speaking up, the first reaction will be, what are you doing? Why are you... We were on a smooth path. We were going to your adult. And what are you doing right now? Why are you not deviating from the path that we made for you? And as soon as you really stick to this path and just explain to your parents, sorry, this is my way of living. And now comes a challenging part, because this is what I really learned to say to one of my parents, which I don't have contact with, by the way. I am able to tell him, I am grateful that you gave life to me, because without you, I would not be here. But with this life, it's up to me to live it the way I want to live it. I don't need your approval the way I live it. And speaking about my way of life is fine as long as you respect my boundaries. So as soon as you cross my line, I will have to say no. And the more you train yourself in really setting boundaries, also to your parents, the more they will see you as an adult.
Yes, but on the other hand, some of these students have quite a heavy burden on their shoulders. Some of them are the first students going to university from their families, for example. Some of them might be from outside of Europe, so their parents are paying quite a lot of money for them to be here. So I can understand that when you are completely independent financially, you can start making those boundaries. But until then, there's a quite heavy
you're dependent
card to play from the parents' sides. And sometimes there's also the question of pride or honor when you go back home as well. And you are a student here, you are dealing with a bunch of stuff, you have to deal with all the courses and everything, and on top of that, you have that pressure. Or, for example, at some point, you have the pressure to also start getting married and have a family when you probably just wanted to, I don't know, travel and make a academic career out of your life. And in some cultures, that it's very hard to turn your back to.
True. I'm not saying that this road is easy. But I am still convinced that in the end, parents want the best for you. And if you are able to show them that the path that they laid out for you is not your path, but you are really happy on another path, your parents will need time to process that the path they saw for you is not the path that you're going to walk. So yes, it's going to be challenging. I'm not going to say this road is easy. And I can definitely understand that if you are really depending on your parents to pay for your degree, that that you can stop your life, living your life the way you do it until you're ready with that bachelor. I get that. And I do not have the easy fix. You can do this during your bachelor already. You can do this during your master already. As long as you are dependent of your parents, it's sometimes really easy to decide to already walk your path and show that path to your parents. So yes, you can live in two different worlds. Sorry, not going to make this easier.
No, I think that's okay, because I think that's important as well for our students to listen to that. I'm not expecting some easy fixes. I just want to kind of covered the ground of a lot of the stories that I've heard here.
Well, this is coming back to picking your battles. This is really, and this is going to be very difficult, especially when you're really living your life in a different way than your parents would want you to live your life. But you have to stick to your own truth. But sometimes showing that truth to your family has to wait until they are ready to receive it as well, or you are independent and you don't have to do it alone.
That's a very important thing.
You don't have to do it alone, because you are not alone with these struggles. There are a lot of communities where you can go to, and there is help within the university. I think we also know the CCP, the peer students that you can talk to. You can always go to the student psychologist to have conversations about this. And there are coaches enough, academic advisors with coaching skills enough around the university that can really help you to just find your way.
And you also have Tint always here for you.
And of course, there is Tint. And Tint also has a really nice training on how to be more open, to be more yourself, more the extrovert person. So
yeah, we try that. And we see that, especially with questions of identity, and identity can go a broad spectrum from cultural identity or religious identity to gender and sexual orientation. It's sometimes hard to, because you were saying something before that I thought that was very interesting, that you can show your family that the path that you are taking is making you happier, but sometimes you don't know yet. There's no like clear two roads and then you pick just right or left and suddenly you have an answer. Sometimes there's a period of exploration, which I think this university, it's very good and it's becoming even better to support some level of exploration of all your facets as a human being. So sometimes you are still not sure if the path you're taking is the one that it's making you happier. You know that the one that your parents want for you, it's definitely not. So sometimes you make choices by not choosing something, but just...
This is life. This is not this is not currently. This is life. But you always make your choices based on your knowledge right there, right then. So if this path is currently not your path, maybe it will be your path in the future. But currently, it's not your path. And maybe the path that you are following now is definitely not the path that you will stay on. But you always make your choices with the knowledge you have right now. This will be life. This is not just student life. This will be life. This is it. This is it. This is life, guys. This is it.
But still, there are parts of identity that are easier to accept than others, especially in certain cultures. I, for example, I've heard a couple of stories of members of our LGBTQ plus community here at university that... they deal a completely different life here in the Netherlands than in their home countries. But because it's not only the question of if your family accepts or not, it's the whole culture of that country gives you that freedom to be who you are. And that brings quite a lot of sadness to some of the students that I talk to. So how to navigate that? Because then it becomes a bit harder to pick your fights, because your family and your culture and your roots are quite a heavy part of your identity, and that is it's conflicting with who you are now.
It is. It really is. The challenge with some cultures is that you have to understand that where a culture comes from is also decades of men before you. And you cannot change this in just one family dinner. You can't. Your parents need a lot of time to process. But first, come back to you. You need a lot of time to process. Are you already fully accepting? Because as long as you are also just struggling to find your road and to find your identity, to find who you are also not really able to explain why you chose a path. And sometimes it takes time to find this path. And the only thing that I can say is you don't have to do it alone. Especially within the LGBTQ plus community, we have Compass. Make contact also with them. As an academic advisor, me and Klaartje Boskamp are also related to Compass. So if you have challenges that you need to discuss with an academic advisor and you don't think your academic advisor would be open to it, you can come to us as well. So just speak. You don't have to do it alone, but this is going to be a big challenge. Yes, I cannot deny that, and I cannot smoothen this. The only thing that I can say that in the end, you need to live your life, because that's the only life you can live.
Yeah, that's a realization that all our students in the end, I think, will make. So, yeah, we've talked a bit about differences of opinions and setting boundaries and developing your own identity, even if that, that doesn't follow your family expectations. But what about when you're actually quite fine and you don't struggle with any of these things, but your family dynamic, it has its challenges, and although you're quite some kilometers away, it still affects you. There's still a bit of an unhealthy pattern in your relations with your family that you don't want to run away from because you love them, but you can actually cannot solve it as well, because it's not your role probably to solve it. So when you how to deal with that, how to see something wrong there?
Yeah, but well, this is actually really related to the family consultations that I do, because most of the time the question that you need to ask yourself, which you already are doing, like, is this my battle? But I see a lot that sometimes parents are fighting, or the relationships between siblings is really bad. And the question that you can only do ask yourself is, okay, where am I standing in this system, in this family system? And am I standing on the right spot? And what I mean with right spot, I need to deviate a little bit on that. What I see a lot is that if parents are struggling, children feel the need to pick sides. And the reason that they feel the need to pick sides is because they are loyal. They are really loyal. This is it's in our DNA. It's in a whole way of human being. This is how we are. We are loyal to our parents, one or two. It's really difficult, but we start to choose. And what we see then is a lot of the time what I see in my practice is that the side of the mother is chosen, especially with boys, because they are most of the time more closer to the mother, and they feel a protection towards the mother. And then the dynamic of the system, of the family system, starts to change, because this is going to sound freaky. I don't mean it this freaky, but they become the partner of their mother. They take over the role of the father. And when you take over the role of your father, you can also feel the pressure of a father in a family. And then that's the moment when your whole life starts turning and shifting. Because then you ruin the dynamic of a family. And this is not something that we consciously do. This is not like, hey, now I'm going to step on the role of my father because I really like this spot. No, this is something that happens unconsciously. And together with a coach, you can discover what's actually going wrong. So you cannot really turn the dynamics of your family. But you can see, okay, what can I do about my position in this system? Great example, my own experience. I have an older brother, but I used to call him my little brother. Always. I don't know why, but this started somewhere in our teenage years. I started calling him little brother, in Dutch, broertje. And I did this for decades. And I also had the feeling to be, unconsciously, I had the feeling to be superior, to need it to take care of him. He had the brains, but I had the social skills. That's the easiest way to explain it. And so when it came to social skills, when we walked into a bar, I really needed to help him a little bit to just get a conversation starting. And that made me feel a little bit superior, but more important, this made me feel like the older sibling. And I really kept on going with this dynamic until literally I was 38. And when I was 38, our mother died. And then I realized, what is going on here? What is actually happening? And then I did a consultation because I could feel that the whole system of our family was just lost. And I did a consultation, and in this consultation, it became very clear that my brother and I had switched positions. And because we switched positions, he was not able to be as powerful as he could be. But the same went for me, because I was not receiving the comfort of an older sibling as I was supposed to receive, being the youngest. I can call it a ceremony, but this is what not it. I was standing at the grave with my brother, grave of my mother, and I told him, I will never call you little brother anymore. You are my big brother, and you can take care of me as a big brother. As of that moment, I can only call it magically, our relationship changed. And the whole dynamic of our system started shifting. My father somehow also started to take more responsibility. The whole system started to change because we took the right positions. And I will not say that this will help in every family, but really discovering where am I standing can make a really, really big difference.
It's very interesting that you talk about systems, family as a system.
Yes.
Can you elaborate a bit more on that? What is the, besides that good example that you just gave, but can it help to see the family as a system?
The reason why I speak to it as a system is because everybody has a role in a system. And I use the word system because you can use exactly the same in your work. Quick example is that if you you can actually project the way your family system is working, you can project it on the way you are working. And what I mean by that is that if you have a very dominant mom and you are not standing up to her, but just saying, yes, mom, with everything she's asking, and you have a boss that is actually showing a similar dynamic, which is common because he is the boss, so he should show a little bit of leadership, you can actually be triggered to say, well, hopefully not yes, mom, because that was going to be quite awkward with your boss. But you can be triggered to say yes to everything your boss is asking from you because he's triggering the same dynamic. So this is systems. Your family is a system. Your colleagues are a system. Your student group is a system. And you all have your role in that system. That making it easier or way more complicated? And time for a next podcast.
I just think it's a good perspective. And I think maybe for some technical students, systems might be something that we are a bit more familiar than just these emotional chaos that we really don't understand where it's coming from. That's why I wanted you to talk a bit more about these systems, because that could be maybe a good start for some people to rationalize some things or to start understanding. We've talked about very different topics, quite broad. We are generalizing here because every family is going to be a case, and it has its own dynamics and systems and roles and challenges. But what would you suggest to a student that is listening to this podcast, that maybe it starts to understanding there are some things in this family direction that can be that he or she can reflect about? Do you have any recommendations about maybe some exercises, some books, some movies that can make a start? It doesn't have to be a very hard thing. It can be a funnier thing.
Well, there is a book that I would really recommend if you are really interested in the family system and in family consultation. That would be The Fountain, Finding Your Place. And in this book, they really dive into the systems and how important it is to have the right place in this system. And what can start with, what can help already is just mentioning it for yourself. So coming back to the example with my brother, I already stated to myself, he's not my little brother. He is my big brother. And by doing this, I already put it in the energy. Okay, guys, this is a technical university, but you know everything is energy. We know this as a fact. But so putting it in the energy can really help you already. Then if you really like to know more on a low level, more about family consultation, there is currently a lovely series on Netflix. Help me out with this name. It's really terrible. But the name is Zeytin Agashi. And it's about three girlfriends that start doing family consultations and are really able to dive into their past family systems and are able to heal some boundaries, some challenges that they were facing in life just by looking at the way their system was working.
Okay, that sounds very interesting. It came to my mind as well, although the series Sex Education, because although it's about sex education, the relationship between the young teenager and such a dominant mom who is a reference in the psychology field and everything has some interesting dynamics there as well.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Yeah, yes. That could be another one.
Yes.
For the Christmas break. Yeah, I guess...
Could be a challenging thing to watch with your parents present. I would not do that.
No. Just for the Christmas break, just for yourself. But thank you so much. This is just the tip of the iceberg, of course. I'm pretty sure there was so much more to say. But I hope that some of these tips and tricks and some strategies that you already shared can help the students when they are going back home. And thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for asking me, Anna. I was really happy to be here. And if this triggers questions with students, I'm more than welcome to ask them, to answer them. So.
Oh, thank you for that as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Tools for Life, the Teen Podcast. If you like this episode, don't forget to subscribe to the Teen Podcast and find more information about what Tint is up to in our website, tint-eindhoven.nl, or by following us on Facebook and Instagram. All info and contacts shared during our conversation can be found in the show notes. My name is Anna Pereira, and I look forward to having you with us for the next episode.